Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite writers and theologians shares this intimate and personal story from his childhood. He said that his family once went to a lake for vacation. Sounds pretty Minnesotan, by the way, doesn't it? And his parents were inside the cabin while he and his brothers were at the dock at the lake. And like any group of boys, they decided to take turns jumping into the lake from the dock. And at one point, his youngest brother comes out, enjoys the fray, and like his older brothers, he too wants to jump in the lake. And so he gets a running start and jumps in, and they wait a few seconds, and he doesn't resurface. Something was wrong. He was stuck in the water, unable to get to the surface because he had gone underneath the dock. His brother was stuck underwater in danger of drowning. And standing at the dock, David said he felt the sheer terror at the prospect of his baby brother dying. However, he said, he felt the power of love which impelled and prompted him to jump in. He really couldn't stay put. So when David jumped in the water, he found his brother's leg kicking in the dark, and he pulled him out. Reflecting on this story years later, David says it probably wasn't as drastic as he remembered, but he could still vividly feel the power of care and love on that day that prompted him to act. For Jesus, his baptism is a lot like that moment. As Jesus stands on the shores of the Jordan and sees sinners enter in the water to be baptized by John, he acts. The power of terror and the power of love compel him. And so he jumps in the water. He's baptized by John. But why? Why is Jesus baptized by John? What does it mean? Why is it important? Why does he do it? This morning we'll explore these questions and see why Jesus jumps in the water, so to say. And so Matthew begins by telling us that the long-promised prophet John the Baptist appears on the scene. He's dressed like that great prophet Elijah, who also wore a camel hair vest with a leather belt. And to satisfy himself in that desert climate, John eats locusts and wild honey. Sounds like a rather unique character. But Matthew also points out that John is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. He is that voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." But how is John doing that? How is he making paths straight? He's doing it by preaching repentance. John wants the people to leave their old ways of life and to come back to God. He wants them to go from no faith to faith, from unbelief to belief. John wants them to change their hearts and their minds and their lives and come back to the one who has created them and loves them and forgives them, God their Father. But John also does this by baptism. He has those who repent and confessing their sins baptized in the Jordan River. And how do the people respond to such a thing? Matthew says Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. People from everywhere and from all walks of life came out to John. They heard his preaching and repented of their sins and misdeeds, and they were baptized by him. They jump in the water, so to say. But Matthew then brings our attention to another person who comes that day, Jesus. Jesus travels about 70 miles on foot in this rocky, hilly, hot terrain to be baptized by John. Really, talk about commitment. This isn't like walking down to the zoo or across the street for a coffee. This shows intentionality on Jesus' part. It shows it is purposeful and planned. Jesus is choosing to do this. And so he comes to the same place as these sinful people, the Jordan River. He comes to the same person, John the Baptist, and he comes for the same purpose, to be baptized by John. And what's his response? He says, absolutely not. No, I won't do it. Don't jump in the water. I'm not going to baptize you. John refuses to do so. And he explains his rationale. He says, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? John humbly sees and acknowledges his own sin. And he sees Christ's holiness and perfection. John knows his place in the salvation story. He's just the messenger, the water boy, the bat boy, the second stringer, the opening act. He's not the main show, and he knows that. So why should he baptize Jesus, especially when John has his own need? Why should he give Jesus that same baptism that sinners are receiving? What does Jesus need to repent of, if anything? It really just doesn't make any sense, and so John refuses, and Jesus does too. He refuses to take John's no for an answer. And so he tells John, this is part of the plan. This is part of the plan of salvation. He says, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus says that John has a part in the story of salvation. He is to baptize Jesus. And why? Jesus is to take his place with sinners. He is going to stand with those he is coming to save. And so he needs the same baptism as them. For Jesus, his baptism is like that moment David experienced so many years ago on that dock. David jumped in the water out of terror of the situation, but also out of love and concern for his brother. And Jesus really does the same. Jesus stands on the bank of the Jordan watching sinners get into that judgment-filled water. Their baptism shows their repentance, and they acknowledge their sin. They acknowledge the justice and truth of God's judgment as they went in the water. They deserve that judgment wholeheartedly. And so as Jesus is confronted with those who are sinful and under God's wrath, he identifies with them and he jumps in. He jumps into the waters of judgment to save them from drowning. He does it to save you and me. He identifies with us sinners. But he does more than just identify. I think this story will help illustrate what I mean. Once my dad was coming home from Chicago on I-53 with my little brother and our family's white Honda Odyssey van. And as they were driving along doing the speed limit, they were passed by a group of cars who were racing on the freeway. And at the moment they all passed my dad, all of the cars passed the cop who was hidden underneath a bridge. And once my dad saw that, he laughed, knowing one of those guys was going to get justice and get caught. And a few seconds later, he was right, and he saw the cop turn on his lights and pull out. The cop was going to get that white car that passed them. But instead of racing past my dad, he raced behind my dad and pulled him over. Safe to say, he wasn't happy about that, and rightfully so. And so as the officer walked over, he asked my dad, "Sir, do you know how fast you were going?" He said, "Yeah, I was going 55 miles an hour." And the officer said, "No, I clocked you at over 90. And he said, "That wasn't me. You got the wrong guy. That was the other white car." But the cop said, "Sir, the gun doesn't lie. You can tell your story to the judge. License and registration." And so after he took my dad's information, he handed him an expensive ticket with a date with the judge. Long story short, he didn't get out of it and was stuck with the fee, the insurance hit, traffic school, and everything else that goes with a speeding ticket in Illinois. He was blamed for something he didn't do. In Jesus' baptism, he isn't blamed for our sin, but he takes the blame for our sin. He isn't blamed for what he didn't do, but takes the blame for what he didn't do. Jesus says, "I did it. It was me. I'm the guilty one. Let them go free." Every lustful glance of the eye that humanity has done, Jesus says, "That was me." Every hurtful word uttered from our mouths, Jesus said, "I said that." Every act of pain or hurt we might direct towards someone, Jesus says, "I did that. I take responsibility." Every act of doubt in our lives, Jesus says, "Father, I committed that deed." Jesus takes the blame and ownership of every sin we have committed, and he takes it upon himself. And where does Jesus take it? He takes it to the cross. there at the cross, He bears the wrath and judgment of God so that we don't have to. He takes the place that we deserve and bears our sin on His back. He dies the death that we deserve and wholeheartedly have earned. So what happens of our sin? Luther says it well when he says, "I now know of no more sins, for they are all lying on Christ's back. They can never lie both upon Him and upon us." They are no more. We're not identified by them or known by them. They don't stick to us or drag us down. We're forgiven. And through faith in Christ, we can see others the same way. Jesus jumped in the Jordan to save us, so we would no more be weighed down and drowned by our sins. He jumped in out of love. So why was Jesus baptized? Why did He do it? He did it for you. He did it for me. To save us and identify with us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who identifies with sinners. Amen.